goes. Those that we might categorize as acting like a fool. Immaturity is something that is reserved for the young. And most young people embrace it quite well. But over the course of time, we expect that to pass. And when it doesn't seem to be passing, sometimes what we're observing is foolishness that has become an acquired characteristic. It's not the result of immaturity, but it is rather an acquired characteristic that we have embraced. Much of our character in this life is determined by whom we choose as our close associates. And this gets back to this subject that we're talking about. A good friend, according to Proverbs chapter 27, verses 6 and 9, a good friend will not hesitate to correct us when we're drifting. Listen to it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Verse 9, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. And then looking on down to chapter 27 and verse, 27 verse 17, that's correct. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. This is a good thing. This is healthy. That our friend should feel the obligation and the comfort, in fact, of correcting us when we're wrong. We should be happy for that. You should thank God every day you have friends like that. Because as long as you live your life and everybody pats you on the back and tells you how great you are and what a wonderful person you are, you may not have too many true friends. Because a true friend will not hesitate to take you aside and to tell you whenever you have erred in some way or when you need to make some adjustments in your life. That's a real friend. That's a real friend. And that's what the Scriptures are telling us here. But there are those that might be considered friends who are actually set on destroying us. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, and down at verses 19 and 20, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. What is that telling us? When we choose to make our friendship with those that the Bible classifies as fools, we risk being destroyed right along with them. And that's a warning we have to take into consideration. And I'll have to tell you something. And you'll see this as we develop the lesson in the time we have left this morning, that there is a real temptation to make a fool your friend. A real temptation. And you'll see why. Now, we'll start by looking at what the Bible talks about with regard to fools, with starting about their decision-making process. How does a fool make decisions? This is very important because the focus of a fool is on short-term pleasure. Their focus is on the here and now. The heart of the fool is in the house of mirth, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 4. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. And the wise man says, this also is vanity. His decision-making process is flawed, to say the least, because he's only focused on the here and now. What will this do for me right now? What can I get out of this right now? And the fool also is a bad decision maker because he doesn't hesitate to boast about his sin. In fact, Proverbs says, to do evil is like sport to a fool. Have you ever worked with people who can't wait for the weekend? Because as soon as the weekend starts, they're going to begin to party hardy. They can't wait until they can tie one on. And then they come back on Monday and brag about how drunk they got. Or something that they did that was untoward or sinful. And they brag about it. Let me tell you what, that's a fool. That's a fool, according to the Bible. Plain and simple. But he also, and this is a dangerous thing about the fool, he takes pleasure in deceiving others. Let's just talk about that first. He takes pleasure in deceiving others or cheating people in order to satisfy his desires. He hadn't got any qualms about that. And this same man is the one who will boast about his conduct. Did you see how I got them? They didn't know what hit him. That's a fool. That's a fool. Plain and simple. According to the pages of inspiration. A fool, and here again, flawed decision making, has no interest in understanding, but in experiencing pleasure. Look with me at Proverbs 17:16 for just a moment. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? I want you to chew on that for a minute. How come the fool is holding the purchase price of wisdom in his hand when he doesn't even want it? That's what that says. He doesn't want wisdom. I mean, wisdom would make him uncomfortable. He would be self-condemned. He has no heart for it. In fact, that's why he's a fool. Because he has no heart for it. But without wisdom, we're told, that one will experience a tragic life. Look with me, if you will, at the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2 and verse 14. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. The fool walks in darkness. You know what happens when you walk around in the dark? I know what happens to me. I've got the scars to prove it. I know what happens to me. And you know, that's pretty universal. Always amazes me how my dog can walk around in the dark and he doesn't trip over anything. But I can walk right behind him and I can find everything there is to trip on. But that's how the fool walks around. He walks around in the dark. Why? Well, because he's focused on the wrong things. As we said, he's in the here and now. He despises wisdom. He doesn't want anything to do with it. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We could take off on that and preach a sermon on that, but I'm not going to right now. But go on to the last part of it. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool doesn't want anybody telling him what's right and wrong. He doesn't want anybody telling him what he should and shouldn't do. Because after all, he knows it all. He knows it all. But you know another thing we note about the fool that has a great bearing upon him? Is how the fool has an influence on others. You know, the fool is one who possesses overconfidence. And I don't know how else to put that. He possesses overconfidence. He is puffed up in himself. And in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, the wise man of old wrote, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Well, that goes right back to what you were just saying, doesn't it? About the fool. He doesn't want wisdom. He doesn't want instruction. But his confidence, that is, his air of confidence that, well, I know it all and nobody needs to tell me anything, tends to inspire some who lack confidence and have a need to follow someone to be taken in by him. And thus, they fall in line behind a fool. And that's danger. That's grave danger. But no matter what happens, the fool is always going to maintain that his way is right. There is no other way. The wise man wrote in Proverbs 14 and verse 16, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident." The fool's self-confidence is something that God calls recklessness. That's what it is. The fool has a perception of others that allows him to manipulate them. He's quick to see what works to gain their favor. Does a person need praise? Well, he'll give it to them. The fool will give them flattery and do everything he can to attract their attention. The psalmist in Psalm 12, verses 2 through 4 wrote, "They speak idly, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, 'With our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?'" That doesn't describe the action of a fool. I don't know what it describes. Again, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5, "A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet." Think about that picture. You tell him what he wants to hear, and you keep telling him until you trap him. And then you've got him. In fact, the fool is skillful in saying anything and everything he can to stop you from speaking anything that reflects wisdom, because he doesn't want any part of it. He doesn't want any part of it. But you know, one of the sad things about the fool is that he will use people like a tissue and then throw them away. Once they have served their purpose or they're worn out, he'll throw them away. And you know, I thought about this, and I thought about what Paul said over here in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 19 and 20. Now I'm going to set the scene for you here. Remember, Paul was dealing with false apostles that came in amongst the brethren. And he's trying to get these people in Corinth to see the foolishness of having anything to do with these people. And listen to what he says now, beginning with verse 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. "For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you in the face." You see, that's what fools do. That's exactly what they do. They want control over you. And they want to be able to intimidate you to doing what they think you should do. But you know, the fool is just going to take or use you just as long as he's getting something from it. But when he's not getting something from it, he's going to toss you away. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. He doesn't want to hear it. You start talking like that, he's done with you. Another thing we note too is that the fool will use his temper to get his way. I'm reminded here of this picture that's painted in Proverbs 17:12 of my near-death experiences in the woods with bears. Evan got closer than I did. I wasn't about to get that close, but Evan wanted a picture. But anyway, the wise man says, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Do you see what he's comparing that to? The fool in his folly is like a mama bear whose cubs have been taken away from her. She's dangerous, man. Any bear is dangerous. But that's one of the first rules of the woods that I learned was, if you see a little bear, there's a big one somewhere around. And you best get out of there as quickly as you possibly can. Why? Because mama bears can be very dangerous. But notice what inspiration does here. It likens the fool to the mama bear. More dangerous than a mama bear is a fool in his folly. That's what it says. But you know, a fool, because of this, knows how to use intimidation to get others to just plain shut up. Don't question. And you know, the fool also, in the same regard, is one who will use people's weaknesses and fears to help accomplish his goals. The slanderer, it was talked about over in Proverbs 10 and verse 18, is called a fool. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. What is he doing here? He's using other people's weaknesses to accomplish his own goals. That's what he's doing. You say, well, that's a pretty ugly picture you painted here. It is. But you know, I think because of the seriousness of this, we need to know how to identify a fool. And there are some very simple things. First of all, how does he speak? How does he speak? In Ecclesiastes 10, 13, and 14, the words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? In other words, he knows it all. You're going to tell him anything. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 3 at this point. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. He makes a lot of noise. But you know, along that line, a fool can be identified because he's one who's had bad experience, one bad experience after another because of his words. He's gotten himself into trouble. And you know, the Proverbs talks about that too. Proverbs 18 verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. Going on down to chapter 10 now of Ecclesiastes and verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. He's really his own worst enemy when it comes to that. He's his own worst enemy. But a fool, if you think about this, will tell you who he is if you just let him. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, look at Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 3. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool. You watch him. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. Always reminds me of the old saying, better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. That's in essence what that is saying. Yeah, if you just observe carefully, you can see. It becomes quite obvious. But you know, one of the other things about a fool, and this is one of the things that we can use to identify a fool, is that a fool has no qualms about lying. If it will serve his purpose, he's quick to lie. Proverbs 17 and verse 7, excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince. Now the contrast here in this text indicates that lying lips are more appropriate to a fool than excellent speech. Read it over, and that's what that's saying there. A fool wants to avoid the consequences of what he has said or what he's done, and thus lying comes easy. And don't ever fool yourself into thinking that making friends with a deceitful companion like this is ever going to do you any good. It is only to your destruction. And I mean that spiritually and eternally. Only to your destruction. But we talk about how does he speak. Let's talk about how does he speak of others. A big warning flag comes up when we see how the fool talks about his parents. A fool, the wise man says in Proverbs 15 and 5, despises his father's instruction. But he who receives correction is prudent. Now, there's the contrast. The fool and the prudent. How does he speak of his parents? And in fact, as a parent, some will not control their tongues as parents. And their home will pay the price. I'm reminded of the words of the wise man in Proverbs 14 and verse 1 when he said, the fool has said in his... 14 and verse 1, that's Psalm 14 and 1. I'll get it right. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Are you building your home or are you tearing it apart? Which is it? Now you're going to understand why I said what I did. How does he speak about God? How does he speak about God? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works and there is none who does good. But the fool is also one who wants a man-centered worship because he really doesn't respect God. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 92 and verses 5 and 6, O Lord, how great are your works? Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. Worship for the fool is tailored to his own desires and convenience. It's man-centered, not God-centered. But you know, the fool will be the first one to talk about his spirituality and has great confidence that he and he alone knows what God wants. Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God. And draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know that they do evil. A fool's interest in God too often is only a means of drawing attention to themselves. They think that if they portray themselves as being this great spiritual person, that everyone's going to flock to them and they're going to have some kind of status because of it. And that's really all they're interested in. But you know, the truth of the matter is, a fool will not last long. Because sooner or later, it'll become evident who they are. And once they're found out, the game's over. The game's over. But the greatest concern is this, and that is, who will he take with him? That's the concern. How many souls will be led astray by a person like this? If he's intent on being that way, I probably ought to say he or she, because it goes both ways. I think you understand that. But if they're intent on being that way, there may be no hope for them. They may not be changed. Because the scriptures pretty much tell us that it's going to be difficult to ever get them to change. The wise man in Proverbs 27:22, though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. He's going to just go that way, and you're not going to change him. But once you identify the fool, you need to know how to handle him. And let me say this, first of all. Don't write his behavior off as harmless. Oh, that's just the way he is. No. Because that behavior is not harmless. It is not harmless. But let me say this. I think we need to be very cautious about how we speak to one who is in this category. In Proverbs 26, and I'd like you to look at this and think about this with me, because it, on the surface, this appears to be contradictory. But I want you to look at it and think about it with me, okay? Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Now, if that confused you, you're not the first one that ever got confused by that. But let me explain from the context what this is talking about. Do not answer a fool according to his folly. Don't let him drag you down to his level. Because when you get down and wallow in the mire, all you're going to do is get dirty and agitate the pig. That's all you're going to do. Don't you let him do that. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. In other words, expose his folly. Expose it for what it is. Make it so clear that everybody can see this is a fool. And when it's all said and done, he can't go away thinking that he has proven otherwise. And that's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? That's pretty strong stuff. But that's exactly what inspiration tells us. You say, well now, what will be the end of a fool? Well, a fool is going to fall hard, according to Proverbs chapter 10, verses 8 and 10. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Verse 10, he who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. A fall is ahead for him. The best job for a fool, according to Proverbs 11:29, is one of a slave. One of a slave. Proverbs chapter 26 and 1 tells us that a fool has no honor. Honor is not fitting for a fool. A fool will experience beatings and turmoil in this life. Proverbs 26 and verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Now here's the most important part of this. In judgment, God will reward the fool according to his doings. Proverbs 26 and verse 10, the great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. This corresponds with the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans when he said, the wages of sin is death. That's what that's talking about. We need to learn to stay away from those who prove themselves to be fools. Proverbs 23 and 9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. And friends, I want you to mark this down. Fools are not friends. You may think they're your best friend, but they're not really friends. Not really. In Proverbs 13, beginning verse 19, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. This person hates the idea of departing from evil. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Now listen to this last part. The companion of fools will be destroyed. Fools are not your friends. Fools are not your friends. And you know, the parents of fools will lament when they see the destruction that they've brought upon themselves. Proverbs 17:21, he who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and a bitterness to her who bore him. Let's make it our goal to replace immaturity as we begin to grow spiritually with wisdom and not foolishness. In Proverbs 19 and 1, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. In Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly and not as fools, but as wise. May God give us that wisdom that comes from up above, that we might walk in wisdom and never find ourselves in the category of a fool. And also be sure that we guard ourselves against such, because being associated with a fool can result in our own destruction as well. I thought that was an interesting subject to deal with, because it's not one that gets dealt with very often. Most often, when you hear the word fool, you hear it in reference to the fool has said in his heart there is no God. But there's a whole lot more to say about fools than just that. I leave the lesson with you. I trust that you'll take these things to heart, that they will be of benefit to you and to those that you love, and that each one of us might grow and become wiser in the Word of God each and every day that God gives us on this earth.